Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Words, my dear friends in Christ, from St. Paul in today's epistle. We see in this epistle how St. Paul suffered many hardships for our Lord. He was many times tortured on account of his faith in Christ, his yearning to preach the faith all over the world and to convert as many souls as possible, and his burning love which he had for God. St. Paul's journeys and preaching made him the model to which all missionaries look, and his love led him giving everything to our Lord, all the way to the giving of his very life for Christ. And it is with these ideas of St. Paul that we look to the saint whom Bishop Dolan has designated as the patron of the season of Lent this year here at St. Gertrude the Great. A saint who, from outward appearances, could not be further from St. Paul, but who in reality is truly modeled after him. That saint is St. Thérèse of Lisieux. This designation of St. Thérèse will cause, at first glance, possibly a split in emotions of those who are here. Many people have great devotion to St. Thérèse and very well might be excited about hearing that we'll hear many sermons in her honor this Lenten season. And then there are others, especially those who perhaps consider themselves to be more, quote-unquote, masculine, that maybe wishing that a great and powerful martyr was perhaps the one chosen instead of St. Thérèse. Or sadly, maybe they've already started thinking about the Super Bowl and are starting to tune me out as we speak. I hope that's not the case. You see, we must not jump to conclusions about this great saint. You will actually be surprised. St. Thérèse was born in 1873 to a wonderful and pious family. And through her devout upbringing, she was very spiritual by nature, but also had many natural faults which she struggled against for her whole life. As a small child, she would at times be what we might call a brat, complaining and crying if she didn't get her way. She had a very short temper, and when she would throw a tantrum, it would sometimes be so violent that at times she could scarcely struggle to breathe. And after her mother died when she was only 4.5 years old, she struggled greatly with despair and the loss of hope in God. But through these struggles, she realized God wanted her to overcome her sensitivities and work for Him. She resolved at 13 years old to become a nun as soon as possible and to work to save souls, a work which she began right away. During that summer of 1887, a man named Henri Pranzini had been convicted of a very heinous crime. You see, he killed 2 women and a small child in cold blood. And all throughout the trial and all throughout his conviction, he showed no signs of remorse whatsoever. He didn't care about the evil deed that he had done. He didn't care about seeking God's forgiveness. And when St. Thérèse heard of this in the newspapers, she vowed right then and there that she was going to pray ceaselessly for his conversion. She prayed and offered sacrifices day and night for this man to come back to God. And she didn't give up hope in God all the way. When he was being led to his death at the guillotine, he still refused to have any kind of sorrow for his sin. Yet St. Thérèse continued to pray. And there, as his head was laid upon the block to be taken off his shoulders, he asked for a crucifix at that last moment and kissed it 3 times before the blade dropped upon him. St. Thérèse had prayed hard enough and gained his conversion. Her prayers had worked, and she was full of confidence in God. She tried, after this, to enter the Carmel convent in Lisieux, and was denied on the basis that she was only 14 years old at the time, and much too young to enter. After this, being stubborn as she was as a child, she turned that stubbornness from what could be a fault into something that she used for virtue. She refused to be denied her entrance into the convent, and decided, if the superiors there will not take me right now, then I'm going to go to the bishop. And she went before the bishop, knelt before him, and asked him to enter into the convent there. She had even pulled her hair back to make herself look a little older when she presented herself to him. And he kind of chuckled at this, and saw the devotion of the child, and didn't dismiss her right away as he would have to most people at that tender age to enter. Instead, he told her that he would have to think about it and pray about it, and he would get back to her eventually. Not to be outdone, Saint Therese really wanted to go into the convent now, wanted to answer God's prayer immediately. So the family made a pilgrimage to Rome, and there, in a general audience with the Pope, she had the privilege of coming up and kneeling before him for a blessing. And, filled with courage in God and tears in her eyes, she looked up at the Holy Father and, to the bewilderment of all, said to him, "Please, Holy Father, grant me a dispensation to enter Carmel." And the Holy Father looked at this 15-year-old girl, and he saw her piousness right then and there, but he wouldn't grant the dispensation immediately. Instead, he said, "You go home, you pray, and if it is God's will, you will enter." A couple of months later, she heard back, and she was permitted to enter into the convent in Lisieux. And when she entered, she became there a model religious, living a life much like any of the other nuns there, in quiet and in prayer, and doing her daily duties well. And with this, she began her what is called the Little Way, which we will learn about much more throughout this entire Lenten season. But essentially, it consisted of her giving of every little thing of herself. Everything she did, she offered to God. Even the smallest of tasks, she offered up as a sacrifice to God. She offered it for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. Every correction that came her way, even if she was corrected unjustly, she never, ever murmured a word. She offered it up and accepted it as God's will for her at that moment. And she offered those things up for the salvation of souls. And her desire for salvation of souls led her to become what she had always longed for, a missionary. She was chosen by Father Adolf Ruland of the Society of Foreign Missions to become a missionary there. But not a missionary of traveling, not one that went out and preached to people. No, her vocation was one of quiet solitude in the convent. But she became a mission chosen specifically to offer up extra prayers and sacrifices for the success of those missionary priests, for the conversion of the souls that they preached to, and for the salvation of those to whom they came in contact with. And with this, she began to offer everything she did for this intention. Every little bit of her will went for the salvation of those who were preached to and for the salvation of the priests who did the preaching. And not to be outdone with all these sacrifices, she, in the end, gave one great last sacrifice to God. She contracted the disease tuberculosis and offered all of the sufferings that went with that for that missionary purpose. And what a sacrifice that was. Think about it. She would cough up blood. She would struggle even to get a breath of air. Great pains in her body afflicted her. Pains of great arthritis. Pains of ulcers and sores from the disease. She was even quoted as to say that she never believed it was possible to ever suffer so much. and that if it had not been for her faith and hope in God and the desire to save souls, the pain was so great that she probably would have committed suicide. But she did know that God was there. She did trust in Him. She did hope in Him, and she did want those souls to be saved. And because of that, never once did she mutter a word of complaint. Never once did she cry. Never once did she complain about her afflictions at all. She silently offered them up to our Lord as a great sacrifice. And very much like St. Paul, she died of tuberculosis at the young age of 25, giving her life up for the salvation of souls. So you see, she truly was a great missionary in her life. She was a giant in those field of conversions. And her death was no less a martyrdom than that of people like St. Paul and those who went to their deaths at the hands of the tyrants and the pagans. And it was not there that her intercession was the greatest. After her death, it became known that this nun, who died quietly in the cloister, who lived a regular life among her fellow sisters, became the greatest intercessor of all. Even before her canonization, she became a great patroness among so many people. In World War I, she became the special patron of soldiers, and as she had always wanted to be a soldier and a crusader for Christ to fight that good battle, she had a special place in her heart in life and after death for them. Great multitudes of soldiers carried around medals and relics of her. Her picture was hung in many trenches on both sides of the war. Pilots named their aircrafts after her. So much devotion that she became a patroness of aviators. And there are many, many wonderful stories of her protection and healing that happened during the war through her intercession. In one story, there was a soldier, a young boy, maybe no more than 18 or 19 years old. A bomb had exploded, and the shrapnel from it had completely severed his calf from his leg, on his left leg. And because of the dirtiness and the filthiness of the trenches and the fact that they were in the middle of nowhere and it was wet and filled with many dangers, his wound was not even wrapped in bandages for 3 whole days after he sustained that wound. And of course, because of that, gangrene and infection had set in to a great degree in his leg. On the 4th day, the doctor was finally able to bandage up his leg, but knew that there was no hope whatsoever other than the fact that they needed to save his life by amputating the leg. So he planned the surgery for the next day. And as that soldier lay in bed there, someone came to him and offered him a holy card of the little flower, St. Therese. And he prayed to her. And the next morning when the doctor came to perform the amputation, he unwrapped the bandages on his leg. Not only was the infection and the gangrene gone, but his leg had been completely healed, calf intact, and not even a mark or a scratch or a scar remained from his initial wound. Another wonderful story is that in France there was a woman that during the war, as the battles moved closer and closer to her village, decided that unlike other members of her town, she was not going to flee and hide somewhere else. Instead, she realized that the men who were wounded in the war needed her more there than anywhere else. So she opened her house to be a Red Cross shelter, and she mended and bandaged up hundreds of soldiers. But the war moved closer and closer and closer to her village, and all the soldiers were there that were wounded, and bombs started to rain down in the area of her house. Bullets were actually crashing into her walls. The roof started to have pieces fall off of it. The windows were blown in. The door was blown in and blown to smithereens. And pieces of drywall and concrete began to fall upon all of the wounded and her alike. She, not losing hope in the little flower, took a picture of St. Thérèse around to all the soldiers and begged them, "Pray to St. Thérèse, pray that we may be spared." And the bombs got closer and closer. And they prayed harder and harder all the while, putting their trust completely in the little flower. And at the end of it all, not a single soldier or the woman or her family was killed by any of the fighting. And in her town, every single building was reduced to complete rubble, except for her house alone. And it was all through the intercession of Saint Thérèse, a great lover of soldiers. So you see, Saint Thérèse is not just some little girl that lived a quiet and holy life in a convent. She truly is a great saint. She truly is a great missionary. She truly is very much like St. Paul, who we read about in his missionary struggles today in the epistle. She's a great saint that we can all look for strength in. She gave every ounce of herself to our Lord, like the missionaries did. She gave every prayer and sacrifice she could. She gave of herself all the way to the point of dying for that missionary cause. Dying a death just like St. Paul. And showing us that even in the smallest of people, if we have trust in God, if we have our faith and hope in Him, then we too can do great and courageous things, great things for the salvation of souls. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.